Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio to have this opportunity to speak directly to you. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember that you can access the Christian Research Institute on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And also remember, we not only do a broadcast, but we do a podcast, the Hank Unplugged podcast, and we have an award-winning magazine, the Christian Research Journal. If you have not subscribed, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Let's mix it up a little bit. Go right to the callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Gary in Pueblo, Colorado, listening on the web. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question deals, Hank, with the politics of the day for God's people. It seems like from the fall till today, politics has been a system of humanism that's susceptible to our culture. And I know that our culture kind of dictates the politics of the day. What would you say to the person that says the Bible contains no politics, so today when we have discussions that we need to be politically correct and not mix our faith and politics?
Well, I mean, at the risk of proof texting from the scripture, let me say that the Bible has a lot to say about the politics of the first century. You think about Jesus Christ talking about Caesar when he said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's." Or Peter, who, and by the way, Peter was in a context where you have one of the most corrupt emperors in the history of the human race, a man who arguably was worse than Hitler. And Peter said, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the governor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good, for this is the will of God." And then he says, honor, later on in that same passage, honor the emperor. Well, you think about Romans chapter 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, or 1 Timothy chapter 2, where you have Paul urging that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all the people, for kings and all who are in high position, that we may lead a peaceable and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So the politics of the day have a lot to do with how the gospel goes out. And when you have a repressive government, it impedes the progress of the gospel, although we can also say in counter-distinction to that, that is the blood of the martyrs that becomes the seed of the church. This, of course, should not mean in any sense that we cast a blind eye to what's happening in the Levant, where you have the mass genocide of Christians, and this is a scandal that is squarely in the blind spot of the West. So in our present context, I would say that we ought to be involved in a religious sense, that we ought to participate in a liberal democracy, because there are a lot of things at stake. Religious liberty is at stake. Due process is at stake. The presumption of innocence is at stake, where we have now a recent example of people wanting to dispense with jurisprudence and say someone is guilty before proven to be guilty. Presumption of innocence thrown out the window. Or justices who are constitutionalists who hold to the sanctity of life. So political activism plays a necessary, although an insufficient role for the Christian. I've pointed this out in my book, Muslim, I believe, where I said that the despotism of militant egalitarianism, of radical individualism, of multiculturalism, of course, political correctness, religious pluralism, are not magically redeemed by political victories. So even looking back at the Reagan Revolution, you have illiberal liberalism holding sway still in the educational, the entertainment, the environmental industries, and all of them serve to create and manipulate and disseminate ideological constructs that are driving Western civilization in a very dangerous direction. So to the extent that we can be involved, we ought to be involved.
Oh, that's so confirming, Hank. My wife and I were talking about that, and we said, all through Scripture, it seems that there's politics in there. It has God's people always trying to influence the culture and change the politics, and when they weren't, it always seemed there was a terrible price to pay.
Well, that's right. Exactly.
In fact, it seemed like when John the Baptist spoke up and tried to confront some of the things, issues of the day in the culture, it literally cost him his head, and there's politics involved with the government leader at that time that made that request. So I guess I can affirm that that's good news to relate to our group that we're in, so...
Well, cool. And let's also point out that most citizens, including most Christian citizens, are going to tell you that liberal democracy is the best form of government. That's what we're experiencing today. But the same citizens often have a difficult time explaining exactly what liberal democracy is. And then furthermore, what would justify a Christian contribution to it? And that's why I said earlier on, you know, at the risk of proof texting, I think that what we want to do is recognize the epoch of time in which we live. Liberal democracies have not been around for most of human history. But liberal democracy affords us as Christians the liberty to worship. It protects our power to hold the government accountable. It allows citizens to participate by voting, and I would encourage everyone to vote in November. It allows us to participate in forming political parties and coalitions, in running for office, in campaigning for causes and for candidates. And it seems consistent with, and it is supported by, a Christian understanding of what we are as human beings, as well as what we talk about on the broadcast all the time, natural law and natural rights that spring from the understanding of a liberal democracy. And oftentimes, even when I say liberal democracy on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, people say, I'm not for liberalism. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. The liberal part of liberal democracy refers to the liberties. It refers to the freedoms that the government is supposed to guarantee. And these include freedoms of religion. They include freedom of speech, freedom of assembly and the press, as well as the right to own property. And by the way, that's the liberal part, but the democracy part of liberal democracy has to do with self-governance, the equality of the citizens under the law. And self-governance is a means in which a representative government is ultimately held accountable to the people. There's a really good book that was written on this subject by Francis Beckwith. It's called Politics for Christians, and you can get a copy for your support on the web at equip.org. I hope that helps. Gary, appreciate your call.
Very much, Hank. We love you here in Pueblo.
Thank you. We are coming precariously close to a station break, so we will withhold further calls until we get to the second segment of the broadcast, which we will do in just a little bit. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. You can support this ministry in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And I do appreciate everyone that considers joining CRI's monthly support team. When you do, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check that out on the web at equip.org or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll be back with a quote of the day and much, much more right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Only 1 in 11 members of Gen Z, the 70 million children born between 1999 and 2015, can be considered an engaged Christian. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Brett Kunkel offers 6 very practical steps you can take now to incorporate Christian apologetics and worldview training into the discipleship of this vital generation. Be sure to read A Practical Guide to Teaching Students Apologetics in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or start your subscription online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Bring up religion or politics in a conversation, and often people stop being reasonable and demonize those who disagree with them. Fortunately, there are certain skills you can develop that will lead to civil discussions. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just 2 of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Quote of the day first, and then back to the callers. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, not a Christian, but this is what he said is quoted by Oz Guinness in a terrific book called The Last Call for Liberty, which is available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. He says this: to defend a land, you need an army. But to defend freedom, you need education. You need parents, families, homes, and a constant conversation between the generations to see that your ideas are passed on to the next generation and never lost. You achieve immortality, not by building pyramids or statues, but by engraving your values on the hearts of your children and they on theirs, so that our ancestors live on in us and we live on in our children and so on until the end of time. It's kind of interesting when you think about this quote by the rabbi that this goes back to what Moses was saying in Genesis, that we are to engrave the values that God has given us on the hearts of our children, that we are to talk about them in the home when we walk along the way, in the morning and at night, so that they may not only hear, but remember and pass on those values to yet another generation. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Randy in Priest River, Idaho, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Randy.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Well, the question I have for you is, it concerns a brother, and not just a brother in the sense of a Christian, but a blood brother. And about 10 years ago, he cut ties with all the family because he said we were just horrible sinners and didn't want to be around us. And I don't know, about 2 years ago, I found myself in front of his house, and I knocked on the door, and I asked him, I said, I don't know if I did something to offend you. I'm sorry, and I'd like to mend fences. And he got so mad. He said, if you don't know what you're apologizing for, I don't want your apologies. So, I mean, I know the biblical model in Matthew of what we're supposed to do with a brother, but I don't know. I don't want to feel like I'm casting pearls before swine either, because I don't really see any fruit in his life. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I think what you did is exactly the right thing, and you gave the right reference from Matthew chapter 18. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. You went, and you tried. So what you did was you left the matter just between the two of you. And if he listens to you, then you've won your brother. But if he doesn't listen to you, then Jesus prescribes the next step in the process. But as I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, forgiveness is a two-way street, and so is reconciliation. It takes two. It takes someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. And if both are in place, then reconciliation can take place. Now, your responsibility, and the operative word here is willing, your responsibility is to be willing. You can't force your brother to reconcile, but you have to leave that pathway to reconciliation always accessible.
Right.
That help?
Yeah, it does. It's tough when it's family.
It is tough, but we should never suppose that our standard of forgiveness is higher than God's standard. God objectively offers us forgiveness. He objectively offers us the restoration of fellowship, but we don't subjectively realize forgiveness until we repent. So, again, let's not put a burden on ourselves that is higher than the standard that God prescribes for us in the scriptures in, I think it's Luke chapter 6.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Hank. That helps.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. My prayers for you and your family. I know it's tough whenever a family is separated, but maybe this is temporary as opposed to permanent. Prayer is firing the winning shot. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Sophia, listening in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Sophia.
Hi.
Good to talk to you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, I had a question in regards to my church. I'm feeling kind of conflicted in a way about the second race.
About what now? You're cutting out on me, so I couldn't hear what you're saying.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
There's an event that's taking place on the 31st of this month.
Yes.
And it's called Trunk or Treat.
Uh-huh.
And not only myself, but there's some other brothers and sisters who feel the same way that I do, that it's a celebration of Halloween. And it doesn't, the flyer doesn't promote, you know, ministry or anything. It says wear costumes are welcome. And I wanted to know, how do I approach the situation? Do I just pray about it? Do you just pray about it? Or do you talk?
Well, you know, when I've pointed out, and this, I think, applies to the situation of trunk or treat or whatever it's called in a Christian context, it is something that is commensurate in many cases with what the early Christian church did in responding to Halloween. Now, Halloween was a pagan holiday, but what Christians did was they established a rival to the paganism. And I think that's precisely what we can do in our context, and maybe that's what your particular community of faith is doing. So from a historical standpoint, if you look at October 31st, the eve prior to All Saints Day is what that day represented, and it was designated as a spiritually edifying holiday. In other words, holiday meaning denotatively holy day. A holy day on which to proclaim the supremacy of the gospel over the superstition that was going on in the culture at the same time. So All Hallows' Eve, or All Saints' Eve, from which the word Halloween is derived, was an attempt on the part of Christianity, as I just pointed out, to overwhelm the tradition of ghouls with the truth of the gospel. So I think we can see a silver lining in Halloween if we take the same posture as the early Christian church did. We don't want to promote paganism, but we do want to use paganism as an opportunity to promote the gospel.
Yes. And what if that's not going on at the So that's why we're kind of concerned.
Well, you know, just, hey, check it out. Have fun. Enjoy it. And be a witness in the process. I mean, the big thing that we want to do is not curse the darkness, but build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Bob in New York. New York. Hi, Bob.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, very good. Thank you. Praising the Lord.
Your question.
Oh, yeah. My question is, Les Feldick, you ever hear of him?
I have heard of him, and I've talked about him on the Bible Answer Man broadcast from time to time. He's what's called an ultra-dispensationalist, and therefore, he not only makes a dichotomy between the people of God as though there are two people of God, but far worse, he also has the idea that the church did not begin at Pentecost, but later on in Paul's ministry. It's kind of interesting. The passage that I was talking about earlier on the broadcast, Jesus says, take it to the church. And so it's interesting. But he basically has two gospels. Peter's gospel, in his view, was to the nation of Israel under the law of Moses, and Paul's gospel was to the Gentiles. So this is utter nonsense, and it is unfortunate that he, as a self-styled Bible teacher, is communicating stuff that causes people to not only have an improper view of the church, but causes people to stumble in their reading of the scripture. And I think this is one of the reasons I say so often the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it's critical that we learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, or we learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. Because if we do, people like Les Feldick would never have a following. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And the resources that we talk about on the web, you can find it at equip.org, plus all kinds of good resources. I mean, this is a good housekeeping seal of approval safe zone. Check it out. Again, the web, equip.org, or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. So long for now. See you on tomorrow's broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Claiming to have been set free from the shackles of religion, theologians, pastors, and seminary graduates who once confessed Christianity are leaving the faith to lead groups now critiquing all things Christian. But you can learn how to respond. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, how to have a civil discussion about abortion, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.